Welcome back, 8 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero with you here. Royals off tonight. I kind of miss them. Yesterday afternoon, I watched the afternoon game, though. Are you watching the games? What is it, Comcast Now pulled them off it?
Yeah, they couldn't come to an agreement with whoever the hell is like financing Diamond Sports Group right now as they go through the whole bankruptcy deal. So, yeah, I mean, that's not surprising because they can't come to an agreement with most of these carriers on a deal there.
It sucks we're in 2024 and this is an issue.
I mean, look, I'm just waiting for them to go out of business. I mean, I feel bad for the people for Bally Sports Kansas City, but hopefully the Major League Baseball takes control of that and those guys keep their jobs and we still get the great coverage that they provide.
I mean, these contracts are a big deal to these teams.
Right, yeah, and so I hope those guys keep their jobs and Major League Baseball takes that over, but to be honest, I think the RSN platform, the way that it was, you know, with like Fox Sports and eventually Bally Sports, like the league should just control that and just, you know, pay out those teams based on, you know, revenue shares there. They should just do that because, like, I feel bad for the people that work there, you know, like Lefevre and Hudler and all those guys, because I'm sure that for them it's kind of tough dealing with the financial constraints of working there because you just don't know when it'll end. And at the same time, it sucks for the consumer because you don't get to watch the game. So really, I think this is a situation where it could be a benefit for both sides there, especially for the fans, because if you make them more accessible, it's going to be a lot easier for people to be able to get into the team. And I think that's also a big reason why I think people are having a tough time getting out to the games, because they don't get the opportunity to watch the games in general when they're at home. So there's a lot less hype for the team to go out and see them.
It does make a difference, man. How do you consume them? The Bally's app?
I decided to buckle down and just see what it was this year. They've been winning, so it justifies my expense. But if they were to start losing, canceling it, and you know, I'll just listen to the games on 6:10.
Have you had a problem with it, like everybody else does with the Bally's app?
Oh, it sucks. It's not a good app. It's awful.
Like, do you just watch it on your phone or iPad or
my TV?
Okay, so you transfer it to there.
Yeah, there's just an app that you download on your TV. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it's not a good app. Spec complains about it every night. He is 100% warranted in complaining about it because it's not a good app.
I've got the app, but it's through the cable provider as well. They'll show it because Spectrum still has it.
Yeah, they're one of the few that still has it. But yeah, it's dwindling. Like, I got YouTube TV. It's not on there. It hasn't.
I'd be fine.
It hasn't
been
on there since I think 2020.
I'd be fine with I'd be fine with Amazon. They do a nice job with football.
Yeah, I'd be cool. Fine I'd with love that. If Amazon took it over. I'd love it. I'd be happy for the guys that work there, you know, Monty and Joel and all those guys, because there is going to be some consistency for them. Like, they're the ones I feel the worst for, just because their jobs are in limbo working here and there's nothing that they can do other than just, you know, put their head down and keep working hard. And I think they do a great job there, but it's just, it sucks for everyone involved. And that's the reason why I'm hoping that Amazon or somebody, the league, takes it over and just controls it, because that's going to be better for everyone.
Yeah, no question about it. But at least it's always on the radio.
You listen to it here. I mean, I get
like
it.
To complain to us about it. It was like,
well, yeah, because they want to watch it. Because like, watching sports on television is awesome. It's great. And so I get it. But hey, if you're struggling, you can just listen to it here. And, you know, hopefully you got a nice vivid imagination. You can envision it. And not only that, but we got great commentators here. Denny and Steve Stewart and Jake Eisenberg. Those guys do a great job.
Yeah, no question.
I sound like I'm really trying to sell it for the radio. But like, hey, if you don't want to pony up the $20 a month for Bally's, I listen to it for free here.
Yeah, you could. You can listen to it every single game, but it just sucks. 2024, you're sitting there searching for it. But yeah, out of sight, out of mind sometimes. And when they're playing well, people want to watch it. So you would think it would benefit Bally's. But of course, the uncertainty. And here's the thing, Chris. Like, one of the things that I hate talking about is where the teams are going to end up. Like, this whole thing had a chance just to be done.
Yeah,
April 2nd.
We could have been talking about, okay, now we got that done. Let's focus on sports.
We knew this was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen. It's like, if it didn't pass, it's going to open. It's going to be pandemonium. I mean, that's exactly what's happened. It could have just been, whether you like the plans or not, you would have kept the teams in Jackson County. But now all the doors are open. So now people have things to think about, choices to make. And I was really hoping we didn't get to this point.
You were very much worried about this. And you had every right to be. I think that a lot of people didn't take the vote that seriously. And here's the thing. It's like, I think there's a lot of people that think that, oh, well, because there's 6 years left on the leases, we're safe. We're good. Nothing's going to happen for 6 years. The teams can break those leases. They can get at it. They'll pay their way out of those leases. It doesn't matter. I mean, teams have done it before. I think the Raiders did that when they left Oakland and went to Vegas. I know that we saw the St. Louis Rams pay their way out. They got sued, I think. And, you know, they had to pay a bunch, them and the NFL had to pay a bunch of money in regards to them kind of, you know, finagling their way out of a deal with the state of Missouri on a new stadium deal. Like, I don't underestimate that for the teams, especially if the benefits are there from whoever is offering them. I can tell you this, like, I think everyone knows they've been talking to people in Kansas for a while. I've heard that South Overland Park, Stillwell area, is a really nice option for them. And I'm going to tell you this, Overland Park is going to make a full court press to try to get both teams, not just the Chiefs. I know you're hearing Chiefs. They've talked about a 30,000 seat stadium for, which obviously would be a baseball sized stadium.
I can't blame them though.
Yeah.
I mean, if something that attractive is there, you know, world champions of 15, the Chiefs back to back Super Bowl champ. I can't blame them. It's so hard to lean the team. The state of Kansas, they've got the MLS, they've got sporting, but you don't have.
It's a major coup for them.
You don't have football and you don't have baseball.
And here's the thing is like Overland Park, there's a lot of money there. It's a little bit more affluent area. And there in the state of Kansas in general wants to lure those sports teams there, wants to get that kind of prestige. And if you think that they won't put it down, like I know a lot of people think of KCK and Legends and whatnot because you got Kansas Speedway and you got Sporting Kansas City out there. Don't sleep on Overland Park because I guarantee you they're really pushing to try to develop that. Don't sleep on Lenexa either. Because Lenexa's got a lot of undeveloped land, and they've been developing that land here recently within the last, like, 2 to 3 years. Don't sleep on that either. But I know for a fact that they have talked to Overland Park multiple times. Both teams are down. They're putting fiber optics down there right now. We're planning on doing it down south there in that Stillwell area. And don't be shocked if both teams, they build a complex for both teams with hotels and bars and all types of entertainment over there for essentially a new Truman Sports Complex over there in South Overland Park.
And it was a thing, too. And Mark Donovan spoke about it, you know, originally, like that area out there. Because the Chiefs, their whole plans, they wanted this hotel and bar area around the stadium. Like, they wanted this. Because they were enamored with SoFi Stadium and, you know, kind of that whole environment around that stadium in L.A. And they wanted that. But when you talk about that area, it's, for some reason, that area doesn't grow. And I have no idea why. Honestly, it's like one of the biggest mysteries to me in this town. Because, you know, Denny's, Taco Bell, whatever. You're on 435 and I-70, man. Like, it's a major, people pass by that all the time. And all, not to mention, but how many people the Royals bring in every single year, you know, even in down years, they still bring them. And of course, when they're good, you're talking over 2 million fans plus the Chiefs fans and everything. It's just an area I'm shocked it didn't develop when you look around the city.
Well,
and
it's because there's a lot of houses there already. So it's like, what are you going to develop there?
But they did a better job, you know, down the road with Cable Dom Arena around there with Independence and all the restaurants.
Well, yeah, because a lot of that, there was nothing there. So like, it was easier for them to develop it.
But I understand the Chiefs and the fact this way is sports are now pro sports. It's about revenue. What kind of revenue can you bring in outside the stadium?
It's kind of always been about revenue.
It's even more so now. Because these stadiums were built without anything around it.
Right. I mean, well, look, there
so
was
obviously, I mean,
a lot of those houses were put in very quickly and they didn't think about, we got to build entertainment districts around these. But yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now. Like, don't be shocked if South Overland Park, Stillwell area is where they're looking at, because I know they're wanting to develop that area, and it makes a lot of sense. I think that it would certainly make for a big change up for a lot of fans, and I'll say this, as someone who grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, it would suck to see those guys go over to the Kansas side.
No, it would. You know, I'm a Missouri guy too, so but I can't blame them. That's the thing. Like, you can't blame anybody for seeing something attractive and wanting it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not blaming Kansas at all, because Kansas is doing what Kansas is
doing. They're doing what they should be doing.
If the shoe was on the other foot and Kansas had all the teams,
oh, yeah. Come on over.
Everybody in Missouri would be like, hey, bring them over here. Let's get them. Let's do it. So I'm not going to blame anybody on that side. They're doing what everyone would do in this situation when you have a city that's sitting on state lines like that. You have that bi-state area. It makes a lot of sense there. I like I said, I'm not going to be mad at Kansas at all. I think that they are absolutely going to put together a nice, strong plan to get them out there, you know, whether it be KCK or South OP. But, yeah, it is – they're going to put up serious contention for pulling at very minimum the Chiefs away, but I do think they are very serious about trying to get the Royals too.
Yeah, you know what? You have your chance. This is your chance. You get one chance, man.
I don't even see
Missouri lose teams again.
Right. I don't either. And, you know, it would hurt me for that to happen. I mean, they would be closer to where I'm at if they move over to where I think they might be looking at. It'd be closer. But still, it would also hurt me if they did move. I mean, it just hurt me just because of me being a native Kansas Cityan and, you know, me having pride for KC Mo, it would hurt a little bit.
Oh, I know. I'm the same way with you. I just hate the fact we're at this level of conversation now when you're looking at all these
someone brings up like renovating on that renovating's not an option for the K. Like, that's just not.
They've already said that.
That's not on the table. Like, that's.
So John Sherman came on when I was with Bob and said, hey, final out, we're gone.
Yeah, like I said, they're that's just not gonna happen.
That's his right too. So
yeah, it's not gonna happen with them, you know, in that situation, renovating the stadium. That was never on the table. So again, if you're on that save the K thing, you're wasting your time because that stadium will not exist 10 years from now.
I mean, it's a great stadium. It's one of the oldest, the fourth oldest in the American League. It's the Chiefs have the third oldest stadium in football. Behind Soldier and Lambeau.
No, those Soldier's not going to be around them.
It's going to be. So now you're going to be.
Especially
two.
With those. That stadium looks beautiful.
So I know some people said it was now. Playing.
It's going to be number two. And today in today's era, I think you need that modern indoor style stadium just from a comfort standpoint for fans. So I kind of feel like, Arrowhead probably not going to be around that much longer.
Well, it's just a thing now, too. It's, you know, we all enjoy it. I mean, it's a part of what we are and who we are. It's just a shame that it's got to this point. But you know it's going to get there at some point because with anything, it needs fixed up. It needs change. It's an old stadium. It's 1972.
The minute that that failed, it was like, okay, Kansas is on the clock now. Like, I knew it. Like, I knew that they were – I think most people who knew it – before that vote, well before that vote happened.
Like, we haven't had dial-OL. It's coming. Oh, yeah. It's coming.
I'll say this. Late February, early March, they had dialogue. I know they had dialogue. So, they definitely, maybe Clark Hunt hasn't called them, but I know that they've talked. I know there have been some inquiries about the possibility of it.
It's always the thought, you know, when coaches say, oh, I haven't talked to that school. I haven't talked. That's true. Their agent has. It's like, yeah, he can absolve himself saying, I didn't talk to him.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Clark's talked to him at all. I believe him when he says that.
People to do it.
Yeah, because I think he's got someone to do that and, you know, talk to people. Kind of
you can keep your hands clean.
Feel them out. Play the cities against each other. It's smart business move.
Which is a perfect situation that they sit at this point.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the reason. Like, I you know, there was kind of that theory
who
that was tossed out.
Who the hell doesn't want the back-to-back world
champions? I want to say it was Scott Parks brought this up when he was on with CDOT the day after the vote failed. And he said that, you know, I think CDOT brought up the theory that Clark Hunt might actually be cool with the vote failing because they can split apart and he can do his own thing and he can go to Kansas. And I think the more and more this goes along, I do think there is some credence to that theory because the plans they released for the renovation Arrowhead were not good. And
felt rushed, and it failed.
It felt like what are we giving you money for?
But
like,
I'm shocked, too, because it's the Chiefs, and you're like, oh, they'll vote on it anyway.
Yeah, like...
They'll vote anything for the Chiefs.
I think the plan for the Chiefs was so bad that it just wasn't... Like, in hindsight, like, at the time, I kind of thought that, too, but in hindsight, it was like, yeah, that was a really terrible, underwhelming plan.
That was your chance to lock him up, though.
Yeah, that was your chance to lock him up.
So all this other nonsense wouldn't be discussed.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, though. I mean, the people spoke, and you got to live with the decision. Yep. That's what democracy's about.
Yeah, you got to live with the decision of them moving, too. So, We have to live with everything. But coming up next, Chris, there's something coming out, and I guarantee you that you'll like it. Next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Sinocero. The text line
came to life.
It came to life, man. People care, man. Obviously, you care. You care about your team because the one thing about the Chiefs, they became such a fiber of like what you do, gathering with family, friends on game days. It's become such a big issue that if they leave, they're not leaving the area. They're not going to leave the area. But if you became hell bent on them staying in Missouri, maybe it'll be Kansas now. Maybe Missouri will make a push. They should. Because losing a professional team is the worst-case scenario. Now, listen, they'd still be in the area. That's fine. But if you're the state of Missouri, you don't want to lose another NFL team.
I think that the Chiefs will very much listen to the state of Missouri. So
Yeah, they'll do it.
I wouldn't panic about the state of Kansas finding a way to intercept that one and take it back to the crib.
It's on now, so to speak, right?
This is a real competition.
Game on.
And I know, like, there was that whole truce thing with, Kansas isn't going to try to take the Royals. Like, yeah, since that vote failed, Kansas is going to try to take the Royals, I believe. Like, I very much think that they are going to try to get both teams, probably do a Truman Sports Complex type scenario with, think nice hotels around it, restaurants, activity play centers, etc. But yeah, I 100% think that Kansas is in play for the Royals too.
And the one thing too with the Chiefs, it's about the business side of the Chiefs too, the concerts, the tractor pulls, Luke Combs, Taylor Swift, all these concerts they've had out at Arrowhead. They've gone to that entertainment industry, and if you have a roof on it, you can do more of those things. You can bring the Final Four. You can bring like that whole, Chiefs Enterprises that
becomes, especially if they build out like nice hotels around there as well, and like maybe even some convention space. Now you're talking about potential Super Bowl, because that's one of the big things there is big hotels with a lot of convention space as well, because that's going to be used for like Radio Row and whatnot, and the events that happen in this around the Super Bowl. Like, I guarantee you, they're going to go for, we want a Super Bowl here, and that means that you're going to definitely see them really try to go all out for it. I mean, look, there's been a lot of development that's happened over on the Kansas side, both in KCK, in the Lenexa area, and in Overland Park. So yeah, this is definitely going to be a serious push by them, and they've got a lot of good things going for them on the Kansas side because they've been saving a lot of money over there.
And they'll have that special session.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like I said, I do not – anybody that thinks that this is just posturing by the teams to try to gain leverage on the state of Missouri and get what they want, that's not what this is. This is going to be a very serious challenge by the state of Kansas to get both these teams.
The benefactors will be the Chiefs and Royals because they're going to get everything they want.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get, like, that's what I've been saying this entire time about the whole situation.
They're going to win.
Like, you're not irreplaceable, Kansas City. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, these teams will get what they want from somebody. If they don't get it from you, there's somebody out there that's willing to give it to them. So,
billionaires, no business.
Yeah, don't think you're irreplaceable, man. Like, that's, and I've been saying that this entire time. Like, don't think you're irreplaceable.
Billionaires, no business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they chase the money.
These guys made money for a reason.
They chase the money. And, they're going to continue to do so because that's how you stay in that position.
Are you looking forward to EA Sports coming back now?
Oh yeah, dude. I've been waiting on this for years. It's been a decade. Yes. I'm incredibly excited about this. I will pick this up and I'm
are you gonna buy it online or are you gonna buy the actual hard copy?
Oh, I don't buy hard copies. Okay, I haven't bought a physical game in 7 years.
Yeah, nobody does. Download it.
Yeah, I download the games now. Got my Xbox. I need to get one of those new external like hard disks or whatever.
Will this be on Xbox too or just PS5?
It's gonna be Xbox. it's going to be all the.
It's going to be all, yeah, all the. Yeah. And even going back to PS4, you think?
No, it will not.
It will only be 5.
Yeah, it will only be PS5 and the Series X, Series S. I got the Series X, so I will be getting it. I will pre-order that and make sure I got it on day one. Probably get the, they'll probably do an early access thing like they do at Madden. And so I'll get on there and I'll be the one to win a national championship for my Florida Gators.
It's EA Sports College Football is my favorite video. I've even liked it better than Madden. It's my favorite game of the year. I mean, 04, Chris. 04, I can't even tell you how many hours I spent on it and how many dynasties I built, how many conferences I moved.
Oh, yeah. I still have the last one.
Because I take teams 14. From the MAC or whatever, or I take, I take a MAC team a lot of times to get in the Big Ten or whatever. But I kept buying 05 and 06 and stuff. I kept taking them back because I always liked 04 better, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just addicted to that. I just liked the gameplay or whatever. You find something you're comfortable with it. And the thing is, you recruit all the players anyway, so you change. So
I dominated recruiting on 14.
Oh,
yeah. Man.
Oh, all my line were like 6'6", 350 pounds.
It was I dominated. I was out here.
Every receiver, 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, I was out here getting like 5 stars every class. Yeah. I was cleaning up on the recruiting trail. Wasn't no issues about continuing that quality out there. I was able to get the guys every time.
And what kind of offense you run? Did you
I ran a triple option.
Okay, same thing.
Because I had Tebow.
One thing I like about the college football game. I love doing that or the wishbone.
Right. Because this was the back end of like the Urban Meyer talent there. Okay. So you have Jeff Driskel as your starting quarterback, I believe. And so I was out here running triple option with him. And I was pretty good. I won the Heisman Trophy with all my guys. So yeah, I had him. I think I had Jacoby Brissett, I believe. I think he was still on the team at that time. And so I was running. Yeah, it was Jacoby was the backup. So
I once covered Chris Leak, by the way, in an arena game.
Oh,
after,
yeah?
Yeah, at the
yeah, well, yeah, after he got drafted, yeah. He got drafted in the arena league. I was running triple option. I was cleaning up with that, too.
I love the running game. Yeah. I love leading the nation rushing. Tell me you didn't take a defensive back and put him a linebacker. That's the first thing I would do.
I would take a quarter safety,
be an outside linebacker, just because they get to the quarterback.
Not back then, but that's also because like back then that wasn't a common thing that was done a whole lot. That was more of like the last 7 or 8 years where you start to see teams do that star position more. But yeah, I ran a lot of dime, and like because I recruited so well in my secondary, I always had press man, my guy. I used to run like cover 2 man. And so I just press those guys and then bracket at the top with my safeties. And it was pick city out there, man. It was so much fun.
One cool thing about the game is, I don't know if you saw this, the latest deal today. You know, Kirk Herbstreit's going to be in the game, right?
Yeah, he was in it back in the day, yeah.
But what they're going to do is he'll be in only some of them. Like Fowler and Herbstreit, if the game gets bigger, if the magnification of the game.
Okay, so who's going to do the color commentary?
They've got
the lesser
other announcers.
Game.
They said there will be multiple broadcast teams. I haven't seen those announced. That will change based on the magnitude of the matchup.
I like according that. According to Kirk Herbstreit. I love that. I wish they did that on Madden too.
Yeah. So if you got Kirk and Chris Fowler doing your games, you know your team's all right. But you got to elevate yourself through broadcasters on the way. See that part of it.
If you get like Sean McDonough, you know you're not in a big matchup.
But this part of it is cool, man. This part of it, like another draw for the game. The fact that it's different. I know it's silly, but
I like that.
I know, but it's like these things here, man, are like what we make want this game, Jones and Ford, even that much more.
So they're obviously not the first ones to do that. NBA 2K does that. They'll have like Kevin Harlan doing play by play, but they mix around the color commentators a lot. So, you know, I know what's her name? Oh God! With Doris Burke, she's on there. Greg Hill, Greg Anthony's been on there. I think Reggie Miller's on there. I want to say they've had Steve Smith, the basketball player, on there. They've kind of mixed around those color commentators, so that's really cool. So it's not unprecedented, but it's certainly with two different broadcast teams, that'll be really cool to see in college.
According to Sports Illustrated here, it said that EA Sports Senior Vice President Daryl Holt declined to elaborate on what other announcers could be in the game, but told USA Today that more details about the game should be coming in the next few weeks. Fowler and Herbstreit are the broadcast team for ABC's primetime game of the week.
Yeah.
Their ESPN colleagues, Reese Davis, Desmond Howard, Jesse Palmer, and Kevin O'Connors, have previously confirmed that they'll be featured in the game. Davidson Howard, a part of College Game Day team. Paul Palmer's a studio analyst. So
I skip that stuff anyway.
But there you got some of them. You got some of them.
I always skip the studio stuff anyway. Doesn't really matter to me. I'm trying to get back to the game.
Yeah, you just go right back to the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to the game.
I'm good on that.
But it'll be cool because, like, you know how they have, like, the school fight songs playing in the background or whatnot? I'm excited about that. I'm excited about getting that first five-star, getting that number one recruiting class.
Yeah, most of the players currently are in this because it was, like, $600 or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was, like, $600 and a copy of the game. They could have paid them at least $1,000, I think.
Oh, they could have easily. But just being in the game is cool.
I mean, yeah, it is cool. And, I'm happy the players are getting something for it, because back then you got their likeness in it, but they didn't put the name on there. They just had the number. And so it is pretty cool that you're getting that, but you know, you'd like for them to get paid.
I think this will be the top grossing game. I do believe
it won't be the top grossing, because Call of Duty mops up financially.
I mean sports games.
Man, that's gonna be tough.
Can this make a run to Madden?
I think 2K makes more than Madden does. It might challenge just because it's the first year, but 2K, they make a lot of money because they have a lot of microtransactions in it. So they make 2K makes a killing off of NBA 2K. But yeah, it's possible because it's the first time they've had it in a decade. I just know that I'm going to be on it. I'm going to be in the game a lot. So yeah, I'm probably going to play it more than Madden.
Oh, do you create yourself?
No. No, I don't. I do. They have like a career mode in Madden. I'll do, but like I don't in college. Like I'll do as a coach. Maybe I'll do it as a coach.
What's your other favorite sports games? I like the NHL ones, but I like but MLB the Show. I played a ton of MLB the Show.
I don't play the show that much. I have it. I don't play it that much. Madden. I'm really good at Madden.
Like, Madden, MLB the Show, and
I cook people at Madden. So yeah, Madden's my game. Like,
who do you play with? What team?
Usually the Chiefs. Like, I've generally played with, like, any, back then it used to be like teams that were like spread offense and then would have like a 3-4 defense. But like now in modern times, yeah, I just play with the Chiefs. Like even pre Mahomes, even when it was Alex, I'd play with the Chiefs. So.
You know what the one thing about this game is that it's got several generations in it. I mean, this game just isn't for the kids. It's for the adults, too, that like the sports games. I mean, this kind of transcends.
Well, the kids are probably not going to play it as much as people my age or
older.
I know.
I grew up with it, man.
Because we grew up with it. So it's like, that's going to be a game.
It's a staple, man.
Yeah.
My 20s would rock this every night.
Oh, yeah. Like, I just remember when I was in college, this was back during the Tebow years, and I just remember people hated me because I dominated with the Gators on there. Like, just when I would run the read option with Tebow. Oh my God, they hated me,
dude. I used to love Tecmo Bowl. It's probably before your time.
I never played Tecmo Bowl.
See, it was kind of my foray into college or to pro sports games. Just how good Okoye was on it, and Kevin Mack just throwing people off. I always hated having to go one direction though. Because you're always that team that had to go the other direction that sucked because you couldn't practice.
Somebody said MLB the Show is objectively the best sports game. If it wasn't as glitchy, because like I run into a lot of glitches with the game.
The graphics are unreal.
The graphics are really good on that game, but like it does glitch a lot, and so that's my problem with the show. If it didn't have those glitches, I'd agree. But yeah, like Madden, I wouldn't like. I think the best game, just in terms of like gameplay and whatnot, pretty consistently has been 2K, but those microtransactions have really hurt it. I know, like, the former FIFA series, now it's EA Sports FC, like, from a quality standpoint, has been really awesome. I love the gameplay. Sometimes they kind of tune some things around a little too much, but generally it's really fun. But, you know, it would be 2K if not for all the microtransactions.
Well, one thing is, during COVID, remember, Kramer and I did that virtual Royals?
You did.
It was MLB. We played over 80 hours, I think. We played it every night.
Yeah.
So we got really used to playing that game.
Yeah. I've played it a lot, too.
Did we created Mahomes once for the Royals?
Yeah, I remember.
It was fun because you could do the shoes, the bat. I mean, he had the bat flip behind his back and kiss the bat and throw it down. I mean, just little fun stuff like that. It's kind of cool. And we would change the uniforms every night, like let people vote on which uniforms they wanted. But
yeah, I do.
There's a lot of cool things.
I do that a lot in the show, too. I'll mix around uniforms and whatnot. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I remember that whole Brett Laurie incident, you know, at the
Yes.
K-Rinover Escobar.
Yeah,
I spent the whole night playing MLB the Show, beating him.
Somebody said MLB The Show hasn't been good since the last NCAA football. I disagree. I think the show's been good the last few years. It's just glitchy. Like, there's just, especially you play like Road to the Show, and like sometimes it just glitches on you there and it doesn't like save your settings. Yeah. That sucks. And like their servers, like I think it was the one they launched 2 years ago. With Shohei on the cover, it had a, when the game launched, they had a big issue with the servers, so saving your progress online, which was really annoying. So yeah, I think it's been good. It's just they've had some issues there. FIFA is the most consistent overall best sports game, another one on the text line. I'd agree with you. The only problem I have is the microtransactions they've started to put in that game.
The gameplay on that's actually really good.
But the gameplay is awesome. I love it. And, you know, I don't have to pretend like Real Madrid is, you know, winning Champions Leagues on there, because they're winning Champions Leagues a lot. They got a chance this year too. They're in the semis. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun playing FIFA, and it's really authentic feeling.
Text line for the 816. I still play NCAA 14. I'm 26 or 28. I've been waiting since high school.
I still have it on my. I have it downloaded onto my my Xbox 360. I still have it. I'll pull it out and I'll play it every.
When we look at it, about June or July for this.
I think it'd probably be late July.
Late July.
Yeah.
But all 134 teams are in it, I do believe. They were able to get them all.
Yeah, I think so.
So even the Kennesaw State, the newest one in there, has been added to it. So, hey, man, I geek out on this stuff, man. I'm glad you do, too. I think a lot of people do, too. The text line definitely likes their video games in there. I think that's awesome. Top 10 games in the NFL next year. We've already talked maybe who the Chiefs might play. What are some of the other great ones next?
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hey, Jim. You know the old sugar daddy. They be tricking, they tell them girls.
I said you can have whatever you like. If you like. I said you can have whatever you like. If you like. Yeah. Stacks on deck. Patron on ice. And we can pop bottles all night, baby.
Welcome back, Jay Beakley, Chris Unocero. Ran a little bit long there as he and I geeked out on video games, which, you know, I find that a lot of our listeners like video games, to be honest with you. I think that's one thing everybody in common.
Yeah, I mean, I play a lot of Madden. I play a lot of Destiny, too. So, yeah, I'm a pretty big gamer. Yeah.
How many hours a day do you think you play?
Every day? No, I don't play every day. Okay. I mean, you know, 2-3 times a week. I don't know. Depends. Sometimes I'm real busy. Sometimes I'm not. So it just kind of depends. But yeah, I'm a big, especially I play a lot of Destiny. I haven't played Madden in a little bit, but yeah, I play a lot of games.
You're about to log some hours in college football. Fun thing is, for a Character Concerns podcast, maybe you'll have some prospects.
Might be good scouting there.
Yeah. Just for fun. So NFL.com, Chris, we talked about who we'd like to see the Chiefs play in the opening game. This is their list of the best football games this season. See if you agree on any of these. Number one, they've got the Ravens and the Steelers. Listen, that's a great rivalry. Pittsburgh's not ready yet. Baltimore is head and shoulders above Pittsburgh. But, hey, it's a great battle there. I'd rather see the Bengals and the Ravens, to be quite honest with you. Number two, they've got the Chiefs going out and playing the Niners. Okay, Super Bowl rematch. We've seen this now twice in the Super Bowl. Why not? I actually agree with that one. That's a nice one. Number three, the Bears and the Packers. There will be a draw on Caleb Williams. Plus Jordan Love, which how much more has he developed from year one to year two? Baltimore and the Chargers, the Harbaugh Bowl. You know, those ex-Chargers, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, all that ended up in L.A. I'm kind of intrigued by that. Number six, they've got Buffalo and Houston. This would be funny to see what Stephon Diggs would do to him, because of going from Buffalo to
Houston. I mean, he might be cooked, but yeah, that'll be a big story.
It's a good matchup. Stroud and Josh Allen. Number seven, the Commanders and Cowboys. Now, this will draw no interest because Sam Howell's gone there now. I mean, not that he was any great shakes in Washington and Seattle.
That hasn't been a big rivalry since the 90s.
But Jaden Daniels might be able to turn things there.
Maybe. But that has not been a big rivalry since the
90s. Number eight, Falcons at the Vikings. I understand this is because of Cousins. This is 100% because of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, though, I mean, Kirk Cousins might not play that game because Michael Penix, you know, we'll see.
Number nine, actually, I like this game, Detroit at Houston.
Yeah, that'd be a really fun game.
The flavor of an up-and-coming team in both leagues.
Yeah, that's a fun game.
And number 10, they've got the Eagles at the Bengals. I'm sorry, but this one I don't agree with, because I think a lot of the Chiefs games you put on here, Chiefs, Bengals, Chiefs, Ravens, but Eagles and Bengals, that just does not draw me at all. I mean, I'll watch it, don't get me wrong, but
it'll be a good game, especially if, but like, I kind of feel like the Eagles might be falling apart. So, you know, and you know, the
you're
Bengals,
not buying into the Saquon.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think Saquon's going to save them.
No,
and, you know,
no.
Look at the Bengals might be falling apart too. So, I mean, this might be a battle of teams who are in their last year competing. Cause I think if the Eagles continued the descent that they had last year in the latter half of the season, I think Sirianni's getting fired, because you hear like the stuff about him, you know, and how unhinged he seems to be, where like
he should have been fired after that meltdown last year. I mean, that was
no, because you're not gonna fire him then. Like that doesn't make a lot of sense.
He lost control of that team, man.
Yeah,
he lost control of the locker room.
I mean, we don't know the extent of it, but like
him talking all that junk to Chiefs fans.
Him talking trash to the fans was stupid. And that was when the descent started to happen.
But he climbs up on like the bench and yells at the crowd and
right.
other
and
places too.
He seems very unhinged. Really, like when I think it was that 49ers game when his, you know, get back coach got, you know, kicked out of the game and whatnot. That was when everything kind of seemed to fall apart. And it was at that point it's like, okay, this guy's way too emotional to be in the leadership position. And, you know, right now, if things fall apart this year, I think he's out.
Oh, 100% he is.
Yeah.
If he makes it through the year. I mean, if they have another, I don't expect this team to collapse.
It would have to be
like
a disaster for him
and
to get fired.
AJ Brown seems content now.
Yeah. It would have to be a disaster for him to get fired in season, but certainly
it was a good draft.
At the end of the season, you know, I guarantee you Howie Roseman's going to be looking at him. And if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to be like, yeah, dude, we gotta change things up, because, you know, we can't have you out here having temper tantrums on the sidelines because you can't handle your emotions.
Oh, number four, they had San Francisco at Miami. And
that's a good game. That's a really good
game. That was their number four.
That was Shanahan versus McDaniels.
But Ravens and Chargers is completely the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, I think. Dude,
that's the draw on that one.
I don't think the Chargers are going to be good this year. And maybe that's a hot take for me. I'm the former king of hot takes here. I don't think the Chargers are going to be good this year.
I'm not one of these guys that just buy into what they do.
No.
I will say they're a lot more stable than they have been. Harbaugh has brought some legitimacy.
But we don't
to
know
them.
They haven't played any games yet. How do we know they're legit?
I'm just going by track record.
But
he wins. He wins at every level he's been at.
Yeah, but like this is different though. Like he's taken over teams that were incredibly talented. Like the only place I think he really like built it ground up with Stanford. But like when he went to San Fran, they were underperforming when they had Singletary there. He came into a really good situation there because they had the framework. He just needed to coach him up. And, you know, when he went to Michigan, he went to one of those prominent universities in the country. Like, I'm not going to give him credit for those two. Now, if he turns this thing around, that's a great job by Harbaugh. But I think we kind of tend to overstate his impact a little bit as far as like building these teams up.
Well, we'll see, but he did make Michigan a juggernaut. I mean, he made that
team.
They
were already a prominent school.
No, they were, but he took it to another level. I mean, that's one thing they did.
I mean,
it's like Phil Jackson going to the NBA.
He took them to another level this past year. But the last few years before this past season, people were calling for his head.
But they were. He had to take less money.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, his talent evaluation was spot on.
Oh, it was spot on.
18 guys at the combine, 13 drafted.
Yeah. 100%, yeah. But like I said, he wasn't knocking it out the park until this past year there. Because a year ago, we were asking if he's still going to be their coach, especially because that whole recruiting scandal and everything. Yeah, like I said, he didn't knock it out the park until this past year.
Coming up next, though, to wrap out the show, maybe some emerging stars in the National Football League next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Don't forget, we have latest character concerns, our draft wrap-up with the detailed evaluations of each and every player. It's available wherever you get your podcast. It's on the Odyssey website as well. You can get it there. We'll put it on social media. It's on Twitter, you name it. What's going on here with Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud, man? These guys have been great. And we know
one of them's been great.
Well, Micah
says ridiculous things.
But C.J. calls him out for it. It's kind of funny, the Batman Robin between them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, plays well with each other. But they're over there in China working with kids on football. But the draft coverage as well. C.J. Stroud knows a ton about the draft, to be honest with you. It's kind of fun.
I mean, I would hope that all the QBs would be good for the draft, because you want to, like, hey, I want this guy.
I'm sure they are, but he's exceptional.
He is really good. I think he's going to be in the media when he finishes his career.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. But I just didn't know what the dynamic was between these two. I mean, there's something, they always have them together.
Well, Parsons has his podcast, so, you know, he's got experience there. And CJ's been really good. Like, seriously, they did that whole, he was talking about a lot of the draft there, and he was really good. I think that CJ is probably going to have a career in media when he's done with this.
Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%.
It'll be a long time from now, but yeah, I think he is. He's going to have a good career.
Well, he's showing his personality now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we didn't see this from him. We kind of had to establish himself first, and then people realized how good he is.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting watching him do things, and I've been interested in it. I think he's doing great.
Yeah, I think CJ's done it. Like I said, he was, you know, there was that clip today that came out of, you know, how many points do you think you'd score if you were playing an NBA game? He was like, I mean, maybe a 2 or a 3. And then you have Micah Parsons, 20 points, which is not going to happen. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, there's a special kind of athlete that you need to be to play in the NBA and do well in the NBA.
20 points, come on, Micah.
And there is less than point. You know, 0.1% of humans that can play.
He did it like the charity game,
didn't
he? The All-Star game.
They did the All-Star. But again, you're not playing against current NBA talent. Like, you don't have a 6'6" guard trying to defend you on the perimeter like that. Like, you've got some 5'6" dude out here trying to guard you. No, you're not going to go out and score 20 in an NBA game. That's not happening.
It's not. And I was just wondering, kind of, I saw your comments about him. I was like, you know what? I think you're right. I think he does have a future in it.
He's very
likable.
He's very likable. He's very smart. You know, he knows what he's talking about. Like, he definitely when he was talking about, like, the players in the draft, like, you could tell he did his research and he'd watch games and whatnot. Like, yeah, no, I think he knows what he's talking about. And I think that there's some value in that. If you do your research, I think people appreciate that. And he definitely has done his research.
He did. Corey Chavis used to be that way with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. He was good.
Early on as a player, he was on with, like, Mel Kiper and those guys in the draft.
They would bring him on during the
– you know, at the K-Rinover Escobar.
Yeah,
I spent the whole night playing MLB The Show, beating him.
Somebody said MLB The Show hasn't been good since the last NCAA football. I disagree. I think the show has been good the last few years. It's just glitchy. Like, there's just – especially you play, like, Road to the Show – and, like, sometimes it just glitches on you there, and it doesn't, like, save your settings. Yeah. That sucks. And, like, their servers, like, I think it was the one they launched 2 years ago with Shohei on the cover. It had when the game launched, they had a big issue with the servers, so saving your progress online, which was really annoying. So, yeah, I think it's been good. It's just they've had some issues there. FIFA is the most consistent overall best sports game, another one on the text line. I'd agree with you. The only problem I have is the microtransactions they've started to put in that game.
The gameplay on that's actually really good.
But the gameplay is awesome. I love it. And, you know, I don't have to pretend like Real Madrid is, you know, winning Champions Leagues on there, because they're winning Champions Leagues a lot. They got a chance this year too. They're in the semis. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun playing FIFA, and it's really authentic feeling.
Text line for the 816. I still play NCAA 14. I'm 26 or 28. I've been waiting since high school.
I still have it on my. I have it downloaded onto my Xbox 360. I still have it. I'll pull it out and I'll play it every.
When we look
then.
At it about June or July for this,
I think it'd probably be late July.
Late July.
Yeah,
but all 134 teams are in it. I do believe they were able to get them all.
Yeah, I think so.
So even the Kennesaw State, the newest one in there, has been added to it. So, hey, man, I geek out on this stuff, man. I'm glad you do, too. I think a lot of people do, too. The text line definitely likes their video games, and I think that's awesome. Top 10 games in the NFL next year. We've already talked maybe who the Chiefs might play. What are some of the other great ones next?
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hey, Jill. You know them old sugar daddy. They be tricking, they tell them girls.
I said you can have whatever you like.
If you like.
I said you can have whatever you like.
If you like.
Yeah. Stacks on deck. Patron on ice. And we can pop bottles all night, baby.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Ran a little bit long there as he and I geeked out on video games, which I find that a lot of our listeners like video games, to be honest with you. I think that's one thing everybody in common.
Yeah, I mean, I play a lot of Madden. I play a lot of Destiny, too. So, yeah, I'm a pretty big gamer. Yeah.
How many hours a day do you think you play?
Every day? No, I don't play every day. Okay. I mean, you know, 2-3 times a week. I don't know, depends. Sometimes I'm real busy. Sometimes I'm not. So it just kind of depends. But yeah, I'm a big. Especially, I play a lot of Destiny. I haven't played Madden in a little bit, but yeah, I play a lot of games.
You're about to log some hours in college football. Fun thing is, for a character concerns podcast, maybe you'll have you can watch some prospects.
Might be good scouting there.
Yeah. Just for fun. So NFL.com, Chris. We talked about who we'd like to see the Chiefs play. In the opening game, this was their list of the best football games this season. See if you agree on any of these. Number one, they've got the Ravens and the Steelers. Listen, that's a great rivalry. Pittsburgh's not ready yet. Baltimore is head and shoulders above Pittsburgh. But, hey, it's a great battle there. I'd rather see the Bengals and the Ravens, to be quite honest with you. Number two, they've got the Chiefs going out and playing the Niners. Okay, Super Bowl rematch. We've seen this now twice in the Super Bowl. Why not? I actually agree with that one. That's a nice one. Number three, the Bears and the Packers. There will be a draw on Caleb Williams. Plus Jordan Love, which how much more has he developed from year one to year two? Baltimore and the Chargers, the Harbaugh Bowl. You know, those ex-Chargers, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, all that ended up in L.A. I'm kind of intrigued by that. Number six, they've got Buffalo and Houston. This would be funny to see what Stephon Diggs would do to him because of going from Buffalo to...
I mean, Houston. He might be cooked, but yeah, that'll be a big story.
It's a good matchup. Stroud and Josh Allen. Number seven, the Commanders and Cowboys. Now, this will draw no interest because Sam Howell's gone there now. I mean, not that he was any great shakes in Washington and Seattle.
That hasn't been a big rivalry since the 90s.
But Jaden Daniels might be able to turn things there.
Maybe. But that has not been a big rivalry since the 90s.
Number eight, Falcons at the Vikings. I understand this is because of Cousins. This is 100% because of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, though, I mean, Kirk Cousins might not play that game because Michael Penix, we'll see.
Number nine, actually, I like this game, Detroit at Houston.
Yeah, that'd be a really fun game.
The flavor of an up-and-coming team in both leagues.
Yeah, that's a fun game.
And then number 10, they've got the Eagles at the Bengals. I'm sorry, but this one I don't agree with because I think a lot of the Chiefs games you put on here, Chiefs-Bengals, Chiefs-Ravens, but Eagles and Bengals, that just does not draw me at all. I mean, I'll watch it, don't get me wrong, but...
It'll be a good game, especially if, but like, I kind of feel like the Eagles might be falling apart. So,
you're not buying into the Saquon.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think Saquon's going to save them.
No,
and, look at the Bengals might be falling apart too. So, I mean, this might be a battle of teams who are in their last year competing. Cause I think if the Eagles continued the descent that they had last year in the latter half of the season, I think Sirianni's getting fired because you hear like the stuff about him, and how unhinged he seems to be where like
he should have been fired after that meltdown last year. I mean, that was
no, because you're not gonna fire him then. Like that doesn't make a lot of sense.
He lost control of that team, man.
Yeah.
He lost control of the locker room.
I mean, we don't know the extent of it, but like
him talking all that junk to Chiefs fans.
Him talking trash to the fans was stupid, and that was when the descent started to happen.
But he climbs up on like the bench and yells at the crowd and
right
other and places too.
He seems very unhinged. Really, like when I think it was that 49ers game when his get back coach got kicked out of the game and whatnot. That was when everything kind of seemed to fall apart, and it was at that point it's like, okay, this guy's way too emotional to be in the leadership position. And, right now, if things fall apart this year, I think he's out.
Oh, 100% he is.
Yeah.
If he makes it through the year. I mean, if they have another, I don't expect this team to collapse.
It would have to be
like
a disaster for him
and
to get fired.
AJ Brown seems content now.
Yeah. It would have to be a disaster for him to get fired in season, but certainly.
It was a good draft.
At the end of the season, you know, I guarantee you Howie Roseman's going to be looking at him, and if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to be like, yeah, dude, we gotta change things up because, you know, we can't have you out here having temper tantrums on the sidelines because you can't handle your emotions.
Oh, number four, they had San Francisco at Miami. And
that's a good game. That's a really
good
game.
That was their number four.
That was Shanahan versus McDaniels.
But Ravens and Chargers is completely the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, I think. Dude,
that's the draw on that one.
I don't think the Chargers are going to be good this year. And maybe that's a hot take for me. I'm the former king of hot takes here. I don't think the Chargers are going to be good this year.
I'm not one of these guys that just buy into what they do. No. I will say they're a lot more stable than they have been. Harbaugh has brought some legitimacy.
But we don't know. They haven't played any games yet. How do we know they're legit?
I'm just going by track record. He wins at every level he's been at.
Yeah, but like this is different, though. Like he's taken over teams that were incredibly talented. Like the only place I think he really like built it ground up was Stanford. But like, when he went to San Fran, they were underperforming when they had Singletary there. He came into a really good situation there because they had the framework. He just needed to coach him up. And, you know, when he went to Michigan, he went to one of those prominent universities in the country. Like, I'm not going to give him credit for those two. Now, if he turns this thing around, that's a great job by Harbaugh. But I think we kind of tend to overstate his impact a little bit as far as, like, building these teams up.
Well, we'll see, but he did make Michigan a juggernaut. I mean, he made that
team.
They
were already a prominent school.
No, they were, but he took it to another level. I mean, that's one thing they did. It's like Phil Jackson going to the NBA. He took them to another level this past year.
But the last few years before this past season, people were calling for his head.
But they were. He had to take less money.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, his talent evaluation was spot on.
He sent
18 guys to the combine, 13 drafted.
Yeah. 100%, yeah. But like I said, He wasn't knocking it out the park until this past year there. Because a year ago, we were asking if he's still going to be their coach, especially because that whole recruiting scandal and everything. Yeah, like I said, he didn't knock it out the park until this past year.
Coming up next, though, to wrap out the show, maybe some emerging stars in the National Football League next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Don't forget, we have latest character concerns, our draft wrap-up with the detailed evaluations of each and every player. It's available wherever you get your podcast. It's on the Odyssey website as well. You can get it there. We'll put it on social media. It's on Twitter. You name it. What's going on here with Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud, man? These guys have been great.
One of them's been great.
Well, Micah says ridiculous things. But CJ calls him out for it. It's kind of funny, the Batman and Robin between them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he kind of plays well with each other, but they're over there in China working with kids on football. But the draft coverage as well. CJ Stroud knows a ton about the draft, to be honest with you. It's kind of fun.
I would hope that all the QBs would be good for the draft because you want to like, hey, I want this guy.
I'm sure they are, but he's exceptional.
He is really good. I think he's going to be in the media when he finishes his career.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. But I just didn't know what the dynamic was between these two. I mean, there's something, they always have them together.
Well, Parsons has his podcast, so, you know, he's got experience there. And CJ's been really good. Like, seriously, they did that whole, he was talking about a lot of the draft there, and he was really good. I think that CJ is probably going to have a career in media when he's done with this.
Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%.
It'll be a long time from now, but yeah, I think he is. He's going to have a good career.
Well, he's showing his personality now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we didn't see this from him. We kind of had to establish himself first, and then people realized how good he is.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting watching him do things, and I've been interested in it. I think he's doing great.
Yeah, I think CJ's done it. Like I said, he was, you know, there was that clip today that came out of, you know, how many points do you think you'd score if you were playing an NBA game? He was like, I mean, maybe a two or a three. And then you have Micah Parsons, 20 points, which is not going to happen. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, there's a special kind of athlete that you need to be to play in the NBA and do well in the NBA.
20 points, come on, Mike.
And there is less than point. you know, 0.1% of humans like that can play.
He did it
like
the charity game, did the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think he did it the All-Star. But again, you're not playing against current NBA talent. Like, you don't have a 6'6" guard trying to defend you on the perimeter like that. Like, you've got some 5'6" dude out here trying to guard you. No, you're not going to go out and score 20 in an NBA game. That's not happening.
It's not. And I was just wondering, kind of, I saw your comments about him. I was like, you know what? I think you're right. I think he does have a future in it.
He's very likable. He's very likable. He's very smart. You know, he knows what he's talking about. Like, he definitely when he was talking about like the players in the draft, like, you could tell he did his research and he'd watch games and whatnot. Like, yeah, no, I think he knows what he's talking about. And I think that there's some value in that. If you do your research, I think people appreciate that. And he definitely has done his research.
Corey Chavis used to be that way with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. He was good.
Early on as a player, he was on with like Mel Kiper and those guys. Yeah,
they would bring him on during the draft with Susie Colbert, and it would be Bill Romanowski and whatnot.
I used to bring him on as a guest for his draft nasty that he had. He still does some stuff, I think, but
I think he knew about
he would talk trash to receivers because he knew their game.
Right. Yeah. No, he would do that. He was seriously, he had a good he had a lot of interesting things to say back when he would be on those draft broadcasts back in the day. Yeah.
So I always like when, you know, current players were evaluating talent.
I would love to hear Mahomes talk about the players in the draft. Like,
he's definitely got his opinions on all of them.
Right. I would love for because, like, you kind of heard it from, like, Veach. Like, he kind of likes everybody and finds the good in everybody. I'd really love to hear, like, his evaluations and the different receivers and, like, where he came to the conclusion that Rashi Rice was the right pick over Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnston.
Well, he's seen Brock Bowers, too, because he was down there.
Yeah, so I find that really interesting. I'd love to hear his evaluation on those guys that they took, like Xavier Worthy or Jared Wiley. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, 100%. But he knows it. He watches the game. Big college football fan, so he's always in tune to what goes on. I just kind of wonder who the rising star is. Who's going to be that guy? It goes they have a broadcast camp every year where a lot of the guys that are players, current and former players, that Chase Daniels even added. And I think he's actually very, very good.
Who?
Chase.
Oh, yeah, Chase is really good.
He did some NFL Network stuff when he was still playing for the Chargers.
Yeah, he's really good.
But he did that YouTube series and everything, the breakdown.
Yeah, he's got a YouTube channel, and I'm subscribed to it. And he puts out good content. He's really good.
He does. He's going places. This is his thing. I'm curious to see. Jason Kelce said he's going to ESPN Monday Night Countdown. It looks like it's not official yet, but it looks like that's what's going to happen.
I think that was like an obvious one. Yeah. I think he'll probably be eventually on Sunday Night Countdown as well. Yep. NFL Sunday Countdown. Yep. And I'm really interested to see what he says. I think he'll be a good addition.
Great stuff. I'll be back in the morning with Bob Fesco at 5:58 in the morning. Look forward to that. Thanks to Chris and Osero. Always enjoy when you and I get paired up.
Yes, sir.
It's fun. Like, we did Character Concerns all year, and we'll continue.
Yeah, we've worked a lot together the last few last week.
We've worked it was a lot of stuff for us. Download the new podcast, Character Concerns. We'll take a look at the draft class, and we'll look at the upcoming prospects as the season to week zero gets closer to us. We'll be checking all of that out. Big thanks to Ron Kopp, lead analyst, Arrowhead Pride, for joining us. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Royals back in action. Going on elsewhere.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.